Testing 1, 2, 3. It worked. Good morning. I would like all of these white seats up here to be filled with children or somebody who's at least less than 21. All right? If you're sitting in the back row and you're a children, come sit up here so I can see your lovely face and be encouraged. That's better. My heart is all aflutter, you know, because I've been given the opportunity to tell you about the Lord Jesus. And I've lived for so many years, and still I'm at lack for words sometimes. And so when I see happy faces and bright eyes, it encourages me to have some things to say. Now, some of you know me a little bit. I like to sing. And we have all these lovely short hymn books passed all out. Let me get my Bible here for a second. But there's sometimes we know songs by heart. Okay? We know some songs by heart. And because we're young, a lot of us are young enough that we can actually learn things quickly. Well, that's not the notes I'm looking for. There's a brother named Bauman. Anybody know a brother named Bauman? He's with the Lord now. He used to work with Indian kids. And he liked to sing this song with them. It's a very simple song. It has only several words in it. And one of the words that we sing a lot is hallelujah. Do you know this song? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Gee, the Lord. That's right. Okay, now. I'm going to do what he asked you to do. And when the girls sing hallelujah, they're supposed to stand up. So all the girls sing hallelujah. And all the boys sing praise the Lord. And when the boys sing praise the Lord, they have to stand up. And the girls sit down because they're not singing. Does that make sense? Okay, so I'm going to go through this once. And you just all stay seated. And then we're going to get into it. And the girls rise up when we sing hallelujah. And the boys rise up when we sing praise ye the Lord. Okay? It gets a little tricky in the middle. Are you ready? I'm going to sing it once just so that you'll all know. Because I know you can learn things quickly. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Are you ready? Okay, now the girls got to stand up when we sing hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. We didn't do too well on that one. The guys started to sit down in the second part. So in order to get it straight, we're going to sing it again, all right? Let's go, girls. Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Good. Well, hopefully we're all getting awake at this point. I like to sing songs where people have motion to them. Sometimes we have kids over to our house. Just last year we had every Friday for 4 weeks. We had kids in the neighborhood and kids in the area out to our house and we sang songs. We like to sing this one. Everybody likes this one. You know this one? Okay, let's stand up and sing. Wide, wide as the ocean,
high as the heavens above.
sea is my Savior's love. I, though so unworthy, still am a child of His care. For His word teaches me that His love reaches me everywhere. Good. I have so many things. I brought so many things. You know, I worry about talking, and so I have to bring all these little props, and I brought so many of them, I don't know if I'm going to have time to look at them all. But I noticed somebody took the clock away. So if I go over time, maybe you better give me your watch. It's big enough that I think I can read this. All right. We've only used up 5 minutes, so we've got some more time to sing. I have this song I like, and the kids in my neighborhood know about it. It has these twinkly stars. Have you ever done that one? Oh, not very many people. My daughter says, yeah, nobody else. Okay. It goes like this. He made the stars to shine, twinkle, twinkle. He made the rolling sea, swish, swish. He made the mountains high, so high. And He made me pumpity, 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 pump. And that is why I love Him, because He bled and died. The Lord of all creation became the crucified. We're going to sing it again, and I want you all to, you can stand up. We can do the motions, all right? I'm going to stand a little higher so you can see the motion. He made the stars to shine, twinkle, twinkle. He made the rolling sea, splish, splash. He made the mountains high, so high. And He made me pumpity, 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 pump. And that is why I love Him, because He bled and died. The Lord of all creation became the crucified. Okay, you can sit down. I always ask this question because I have to know, and this is a new crowd, and maybe you don't know. Can you have to tell me, what does this mean? Can you tell me? This means, you think that means the Bible? It says, He bled and died. Come on. Do you know? Say it loud.
The nail prints.
The nail prints. Prints in His hands, eh? The Lord of all creation. What's this? The cross. That's right. They put Him up on a cross. Why? You can tell me. Wait. And I'll get my microphone for you. How come they put Him on the cross?
They wanted Him to die.
They wanted Him to die. They sure did. How come they wanted Him to die? Do I have to ask my own daughter? Why did they want the Lord Jesus to die?
Because He said He was the King of the Jews.
That's what they put over the top, right? Over the cross. They said, this is the King of the Jews. And Pilate said, I don't appreciate that. I'm the king here. I'm the guy that rules. But you know why He died, really? Why did God put Him on the cross? The Father actually put Him on the cross. Why did He do that?
To forget our sins.
That's right. Say it again.
To forgive our sins.
So our sins could be taken care of, right? He had to die to be a sacrifice for our sins on the cross. Anybody here a sinner? If you don't have your hand up, you're wrong. We're all sinners. God tells us that in His wonderful book. I have one more song. This is an action song. We know this is, everybody know this story about David? David, and what was the man, what was the big guy? Don't remember? What was the name of the big guy? Goliath, yeah. Only a boy named David, only a rippling sweetheart. Only a boy named David, but he could play and sing. Only a boy named David, only a rippling brook. Only a boy named David, but five little stones he took. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And round and round and round and round and round and round and round. And one little stone went up in the air, and the giant came tumbling down. Good. One little stone. We're going to talk about some things that are big today, and some things that are comparatively very small. The big things are the things that God does, and the little things are the things that we have been allowed to do. But before I talk very much, I've got to pray. I really have to. I need the Lord's help. So we're going to ask Him for His help, that His name would be lifted up, and that there'd be, of all the things I have to say, you'd actually think of something when somebody asks you, well, did you have a nice Sunday school? You can say, yeah, I actually learned something. And what did you learn? And you can say what you learned. Okay? Hopefully, we won't cover so much that you can't learn something. So let's ask God's help. Our Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, who, as we have already heard, had died on the cross for sinners. And we pray that your word would be made clear, and that children here who do not know you yet as Savior would have an opportunity to come and accept you as their Savior and get to know you. And anyone who's not a child also would be struck with your light, the light of the gospel. We ask your blessing and your help, our God, in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You know, I've been thinking a lot lately about light. Now, we all know some things in Scripture. There's a lot of Scriptures, actually, that talk about light. Let me show you something here. I took this. What's this? Yes. It's a leaf. Where do you suppose I got this leaf? Off a tree. Just out here in the back. I picked a leaf that had big leaves so that we could see it, because some of you are sitting way far back and you might not know what it is. It's a leaf. You know what? See this green stuff here? You know, inside of the leaf, it's called chlorophyll. Chlorophyll. And this tree gets energy from the light of the sun. And so when the springtime comes, the light comes and the leaves start to come out, and they get energy from the sun, yes?
And then when they get a lot of energy, it turns different colors.
Right. When they get energy, it begins to turn green. You know what? Chlorophyll, I learned this because we have to study some of these things. Chlorophyll is very, very, very much like human blood. There's very little difference between chlorophyll and human blood, the substances that are in it. God has a marvelous thing. He's taken these leaves and it gives the tree energy. Light does some wonderful things, some great things for us. In fact, when I was a little boy, we had some clotheslines in the backyard. My mom had a metal bar, in the back on one end of the yard, and then on the other end of the yard was another metal T bar, and about six lines, six heavy steel lines went from one end to the other. And then every day out in the dry Colorado sun, she would hang out the wash. Even in the winter, she would hang out the wash. And because it was so dry out there, even though it was only 35 degrees or what you'd call 2 or 3 degrees Celsius, she would hang out the clothes and they would dry. Wasn't a problem. But you know, it wasn't just the drying. You know what the sunshine does? Have you ever got into a bed and it has fresh sheets that have been hung out? Have you ever smelled those sheets? Ooh, it smells good. So fresh and so nice. You know what? That sun has come down and actually purified the sheet. It has come and taken more of the stuff off of that sheet that might be harmful to you just in the sunlight itself. Isn't that marvelous? God has an incredible amount of information in light. But what about light? You know, I have a friend that lent me some here. It makes me think of a story in the Bible. I want to see if you can. I have to find out how to get this open. Oh, here it goes. You know what? I saw this in my trunk the other day. I said, "What's this?" And my son says, "Well, that belongs to the Leges," and it's a light. Yeah. Well, it's a light. And I look inside and say, "Well, you know what? That looks like a quartz halogen bulb from the headlight." I said, "No, Dad. This is 10,000 candle power. 15 million? Oh. 15 million candle power. Wow. This is pretty bright. I wonder. Ah, yeah. If I can turn it on. What's wrong with you guys? Everybody, huh? 15 million candle power. And they shined it on a building. It's not very bright in here. We got it a bit more like. They shined it on a building in the dark. We were outside of the meeting room, and they shined it on a big, tall apartment building. Just lit up the whole side of the building. 10,000 candle power. Whoa. How bright is a candle? Not very bright. Somebody tell me a story. Can you think of a story where there was a very bright light in the Bible? Somebody think of a story. I can tell you where it's found. If you can't think of it, I'll tell you where to find it and you can read it to us. It's in Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to get one of you kids who has a Bible, turn to Acts chapter 9. You can read it to everybody. Who's the first that has it? Acts chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. Here's a guy who's already with it. Let me pull this off. Can you read it? Why don't you stand up here?
"And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light of heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?'"
That's right. So he saw a light from heaven. How bright was that light? Did you read to me how bright the light was? Anybody remember? He read it. Did you hear it? How bright was the light? How many candle power? Does it say how bright it was? Oh, maybe I got the wrong place. Maybe it's in... We forgot to read the third verse. So I wrote stuff down and didn't get the whole thing. The third verse, "He journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven." All right. There's a light. It doesn't say how bright. Maybe it's in Acts 22. We won't go there because it takes too long. It says it's above the brightness of the sun. It was a very bright light. And it struck Paul. It struck him so hard. Here he was. He hated Christians. He hated those people who believed in the Lord Jesus because he thought he was doing God service. But he was in the dark, actually. He thought he was doing God service by taking these Christians and binding them up and putting them into prison because he thought they were doing the wrong thing. But then as he came and he was walking near Damascus, a bright light came down and it struck him. So bright. Something happened to Paul when that light hit him. What did he say? He fell to the earth. He heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" You know what? He asked the question and answered the question in the same statement. He answered the question he asked when he said, "Lord, who art thou, Lord?" What happened? The brightness of the light gave him understanding. What is this book anyway? It's the Bible. It's the Bible. And it's a very bright, it has lots of light for our pathway. Thy word is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Thy word, let's say it together. Actually, I know a song. Now, you're going to have to forgive me because when I run across the song, we have to sing it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I can't remember the rest. That was the best part of that song, and I remember that. God is very, it's very important for us to have that lamp and that light. In John 8, I'm going to look at John 8. Somebody can read it for me. I want somebody to read verse 12 for me. John 8, verse 12. Maybe I better read it myself just to make sure we're getting it right. Okay. John 8, verse 12. You want to read it? You can stand up so folks can see you.
Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life."
That's right. That's good. "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." You know, one day I had a real big pain. Oh, this is bad. And I prayed about it, and it went away. So then, it wasn't very long later, I had this pain again. Oh, this is really bad. And I prayed about it, and it went away. But this kept happening a little bit. Pretty soon it didn't go away. I said, "Boy, I better see the doctor. I better go see the doctor." And you know what? He didn't know what to say, but he came out with one of these things. We can't see it very well, eh? Yeah. Yeah, I know what to do. I need two volunteers. These two guys in the end here, okay? I want you to hold this up. One guy on one side and one guy on another. Okay, I need another volunteer. Okay, you. Got to hold it high because folks can't see. And you go behind here and point this light, okay, on that thing. You guys come forward. All right. Now, This is what the doctor saw. He's looking and looking. And you know, he ended up taking a whole lot more of these things. Ended up, I had a kidney stone. Now, what about this light? What does that remind us of? You know, you hold the light a little higher and hold that higher too. You've got to hold it up there. Yeah, okay. It reminds me that God can see into my heart. We already quoted a verse. Here the light is showing right through Mr. Dan's body. It was like this. Okay. Now you can't see it this way. When you get the light on it, you can see it. It shows right through. And God sees into your heart though. You know, this see, you can't even see my heart in there because it's just an x-ray. It sort of goes through everything and it's looking for bones. And I don't understand how doctors can read this stuff. They have to know exactly what each shadow means, right? So we're going to put this down and you can drop that. No, wait. No, go ahead and put it down. Okay? Good. Thank you very much. You want to turn that thing off? Does it go off? Oh, here we go. Okay. Thank you. I got a verse. We read about this x-ray, all right? 2 Corinthians. We're going to look in 2 Corinthians. We're going to go to the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. And read the third and the fourth verse of the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. And I want somebody to come up here and read it, all right? Anybody have it? Well, you read before. Does anybody else have it? Okay, down at the end there. Come up here to the front and read that verse. Let me stand behind here. All right.
But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ who is the image of God should shine unto them.
That's a powerful verse. Okay, thanks very much. And you can go sit down. This has been a real exercise to me. You know, one day I was praying in the prayer meeting, and this verse came to me. I thought, wow, Satan, it says, the god of this world, and who's that? That's Satan. He's blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, I have all these people that I know that don't know the Lord Jesus. And I look at this verse and I say, Satan has filled their minds with so much, he's blinded them to the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. You know, I have a neighbor. It used to be two neighbors, but now there's only one on one side of us, and we pray for them. When Nancy was diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, we went to the neighbors next door, and the two of them stood there, and Mr. Bates was quite conciliatory. He said, you know, that's too bad. But he didn't know really what to say. And Mrs. Bates said this, I don't believe in a God that gives cancer to a mother with five children. You know, it wasn't very long after that Mr. Bates found he had some troubles in his gallbladder. And they looked at it, and he got sicker and sicker. And pretty soon found out that Mr. Bates had cancer too. And we began to pray for Mr. Bates in this way, that God would take the blindness that Satan has put into his eyes and take it away, so that what's going to happen as soon as that blindness is taken away? What's going to happen? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ is going to shine in. Going to come in as light. We began to pray for Mr. Bates like that. A little bit by little bit, you know, one day he was lying at home in the in the family room there, their family room, went to visit him, and Nancy talked to him, and he said, well, you know, a long, 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 long time ago, I went to a camp, and I used to teach Bible school and Bible camp, and maybe a long, long time ago, maybe I know Jesus, you know. Mrs. Faith, she didn't want to deal with that very much. Little bit by little bit, you know, one time I came home and Mr. Bates had been put into a palliative care center. And he was very, very sick. Palliative care, kids, means that you're about ready to die and they're trying to take the very, very best care of you they can. So he was in a palliative care center. And I came home from work one night and Mrs. Bates was next door and she walked over to me and she says, I got to tell you the most amazing thing that's happening. Mr. Bates, Stan, was in the front room of the palliative care center and they began to, somebody came and they were playing the piano. And he said, play me This Little Light of Mine. Let's sing it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And she said, you know, he was really happy to hear that song. He was just putting his hands up and down and he was swinging around and he was so happy. I said in my heart, I know what's happened. I know what's happened. You know, you go to visit him in the palliative care center and he wouldn't say much. But then one day Alan went to visit him. And I don't remember exactly what he said. Do you remember what he said? Can't remember. But he acknowledged that the Lord Jesus Christ was his Savior. Oh, we were so happy. We were so happy. But the darkness had come off of his eyes. And the glorious light of the gospel had passed in. Mr. Bates was saved. I know it. And now what about Mrs. Bates? Here this dear lady is next door to us. And she's talked to Nancy on the phone. And she says, you know, I think that you are the only miracle I've ever seen in my life. If there's ever a miracle, you're a miracle. And then a couple of weeks ago, she had some lumps that she had to go see about too. And it turns out that they don't think there's anything really terrible, that they'll be able to take them out. It won't be a problem. And when Nancy talked to her, she says, well, Nancy said, I was praying for you. She says, that's good. I know God's answering your prayers. So we're praying for Mrs. Bates, that the blinders will be taken off and that she will begin to allow the glorious gospel of Christ to come inside. Many children in our neighborhood have been touched with the gospel as we speak to them, and we know of one or two who have really accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. What is a wonderful thing. We have a little light. We try to shine it out and God does marvelous things, not with us, but with His Word, right? Are we running out of time yet? No, no. We still got lots of time. In here I have some funny things. You know, you don't see these things around anymore. Pretty hard to see. Can you see what's in here? Yeah, okay, a street. Can you see what's in here?
Sky and grass in the street and a bunch of like
electric poles.
And a car.
A car, maybe a car. Okay, it's pretty hard to see. I found one of these at the Salvation Army. It only cost me $5. I'm glad because I've never had one, you know. And I have a bunch of old slides and the kids had to see them all. So this is a slide. They don't have them anymore. They have digital cameras, and you can't even see the image in a digital camera. It doesn't come out except unless you can project it on a digital projector of some kind. But this, you know, this reminds me of another verse that God is going to bring to light certain aspects of my life. You know, if I know the Lord Jesus is my Savior, when I get to heaven, I'm going to understand a whole lot more about my life than I do now. And even as I look back, you know, I can look back on some of my life and I can sort of understand parts of it. Can you do that? God is working in your life right now. And you know what He's trying to do? He's trying to make you like the Lord Jesus. Do you know that? So I want many children to be like my son. So, you see, there's another one here. When I get to heaven, God is going to help me with the light of His countenance. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5 while I'm busy with this. Anybody ready? 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. We were in 2 Corinthians 4 before. Now in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. I don't know if I can get this down or not. We'll do the best we can. Anybody got it? You do. You want to come up here and read it for me? Okay.
Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God.
That's right. He's going to bring the hidden things to light. That's good. You know, we have a trouble sometimes of judging things before we know what's going on. But when we get to heaven, everything is going to be brought out to the light. We're going to see what's right. Let me see if I can get this to go here. We're sort of guessing. This one. Okay. That's upside down. How do you like that? You know, when you get to heaven, a lot of things are going to happen. This is a bit of comic relief. You turn off those lights back there. This is yours truly when he had hair. So how many of us think we're going to be bald in heaven? So when you get to heaven and you see me, I think I'm going to look like this. I don't know. But a lot more like Christ. I think so, yeah. Now I'm bringing this slide, and it's hard to see a little bit. Let me see if I can focus it up. Because it makes me remember something that happened a long time ago. You know what this is? Yeah? Well, no, it's not. It's not very clear, is it? Even though we've got all the lights off and the... Yes? It's a motorcycle. This picture was taken in about 1973, which is a long, long time ago. And that guy on the motorcycle is named Dana Stern. He's a good friend of mine, and we used to ride a lot together. And I had a motorcycle, too. It was just like Paul's. Paul was riding a motorcycle when he went to your wedding, and I had a motorcycle like that. But, you know, right about that time in 1973, yours truly, was praying pretty hard. I was saying, Lord, help me to know exactly what you want me to do. Here I am, I'm 20 years old, and I'm still not quite sure where I should go and what I should do. Please help me. In fact, I said, do anything that's necessary in order to get me into line with what your will is. You know what happened is 3 weeks or two or three, right in the range of this picture, I had a motorcycle accident. I was riding along back from work. I was working for Dana's dad in Rockford, Illinois, being a gas station attendant. Yeah, well, this won't get me anywhere. Anyway, I was walking. We were driving back home to where Dana lived on my motorcycle, and some guy came right across, and he went through a stop sign, and bang! I went into his back, and I went over the top of that car and into a tree about 30 feet down the road, all in the air to begin with. Well, my mom was in Denver, and she came to the hospital where I was. I don't remember the first 4 or 5 days. In fact, I'm told, my mother tells me, that while I was in the hospital and in the operating room, they came and told her, you know, we almost lost your son. We almost lost your son. He nearly died on the operating table. They were putting this big, see this thing? You know where they put that? I broke all the bones in these two legs. And they took this thing and they put it right down inside of this bone so they wouldn't have to have me strung up for 6 weeks. So this went down inside of this as a femur, okay? It went right down inside the middle of the bone. They took a hammer and they hammered it down inside of there after they sort of drilled a hole. Now, I still have it. About 6 months later, they took it out. You know? And I still have it. And the amazing thing, it was straight when they put it in. But now if you look at it, it's curved. Why? Because the bone that God built, this is very, very hard. Very, very tough steel. The bone that God built healed properly and bent this into the proper shape of the bone. Isn't that incredible? I kind of treasure this thing. God was giving me a lesson. And here I'm telling you this because when you get to heaven, you have all these things that are going to come through your mind and you're going to see what the Lord was doing. What was the Lord doing? When I was in the hospital bed during those 4 days that I don't remember anything, one of the nurses came in and she was telling my mother, you know, they almost lost him in the operating table. And I was there too. And the nurse looked at me and I said, yeah, well, maybe that would have been for the best. You know what? Mr. Weeks wasn't afraid of death. How come? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ had entered into my soul. I knew where I was going. What about you? What about you? I gotta ask this. You know, we're looking at an x-ray. We're saying, God sees inside of you. We had a verse that said, all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin. You know what sin? Sin was defined by the law. The law defined the glory of God. We're all sinners and we came short of that glory. Came short. Every one of us. You too. You're a sinner, right? Who here hasn't sinned? You know what? God is holy and He wants to have you in His presence though. He said, what am I going to do? I have all these wonderful people that have grown up, that I love them. I want them to be with me. I'm lacking a companion. So I'll give my son for the sin. I gave the son for the sin. You know, after this, I went home and in my recuperation period, I worked for a printer and then I went to printing school. And I went to Montreal for 13 years, and I printed. So did God answer my prayer? Yeah. Remember the prayer was? The prayer was, God, do anything it takes to put me in the position you want me to be in. So for 13 years, that was God's position for me. God knows exactly what's going on. And the light of His Word tells us how, you know, what's the light on that motorcycle make you think of? A verse in the Bible. There's a light that's on the front of the motorcycle and it's showing the way. A verse in the Bible in Psalms 119. We sang it already. Yes? Okay. I don't think you know. Don't raise your hand if you don't know. Is only my daughter the only one that knows? Come on, are you guys? Am I so boring that you can't remember? We sang this song. Yeah? That's right. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's good. Okay. That's what we need, is the word of God to guide us. You know, yesterday I was driving... I'm going to turn this off. Yesterday, Alan and... No, it was 2 days ago. Alan and I were driving home from work. And I got to remember how to turn this off. There we go. And along came a Civic that was all dressed up. Do you know what I mean, dressed up? A Honda Civic dressed up. It had fat fenders and it had wide tires. And it was all black and it had all the decals and everything taken off. And it really looked cool, right? It looked cool. And it went by and a verse came to my mind. Let me see. Now I can't remember. The verse came to my mind, which is the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. That's what God calls when you see something going by and you say, "Woo, that's cool." Or if you look at someone's house, say, "Wow, I wish I could." You know, that's the lust of the eye, isn't it? You wish maybe you could have some of that. The lust of the eye. We have a want for things. God has put that one inside of us. But I'd like to bring out another verse. You want to turn those lights on, Gloriana, while you're there? So we won't all be in the dark again. Matthew 6, verse 22 and 23. It talks about eyes. Uh-oh, my time is up. And I had one more illustration. But we're going to go fast here. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The light, here we're talking of light, the light of the body is the eye. Now why did I relate it to the lust of the eyes? I want us to understand about what we see and what we desire. The light of the body is the eye. If thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. When we look at something and we want them, that's a desire we have, right? A desire that we have deep down inside. But if our eye be single, if that desire that we have is single-minded for Christ, what's going to happen? Thy whole body shall be full of light. We're going to have understanding. Understanding of the Word of God. We're going to have understanding for our pathway. We're going to have understanding, and our bodies, our lives, will be full of light. So let's relate that to what we see. What do we desire? If thy eye be single, thy whole body be full of light. Now the next thing, it doesn't give if thy eye be double. It says if thy eye be evil. There's a black and a white here. A black and a white. Does it give us a space for walking with one foot with the Lord and one foot in the world? If thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thy eye be evil, here, one foot in the world, one foot with Christ. Are we going to get very far in our life? No. Is our whole body going to be full of light? No. It said, If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? I have one more quick illustration. You don't mind, do you? What's this? It's a candle. There's some verses about candles. Somebody tell me a verse about candles. Steve, tell me a verse about candles. Yeah, that's the one I thought of too. That's very good. That's in Matthew 5. We're going to look at it fast. Verse 15 and 16, let your light show, neither let do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Oops, it's going to light. That's what this is. It's a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. If we came in here in the middle of the night and all the lights were off and we lit this candle, we'd probably get more benefit out of it than we did out of that 10 million candle power light that we turned on when it was light, right? The light dispels the darkness, doesn't it? Now, if God has given you a light, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You remember that? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. God has given you a light. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, God has given you a light. All right? Now, I have a very quick story. I have to tell this story about the bees. Do you know about the bees? These tiny little creatures. Last year in the United States, they lost 25% of the bee population. These tiny little creatures. You know what Einstein said? If the bees died, mankind would be finished on Earth in 4 years. Last year, we lost 25% of the bee population. God tells us He's chosen the small things and the weak things. And the things which men despise, God has chosen. That's me. That's you. This is the light that God has given you. It may not be 10,000 or 10 million candle power. It may not be the brightness of the sun. But it's the light that God has given you and me. I need about 6 volunteers. I'll just pick them here. I want you to come up. Come here. Yeah. Okay, keep. You guys come. And you guys come too. I don't know if I have one for everybody. Hold it up high. Okay? Hold that up high. Let everybody see. Look it. I've got a whole bunch of them. I've even got one more. This guy in the back, in the back, in the back, yeah. Okay, what are we reading here? Faith, goodness, joy, love, long-suffering, gentleness, endurance, meekness, temperance. Is having a light to shine, is it only preaching the gospel? You know what? When you show forth the fruits of the Spirit, your light is shining. Obedience, gentleness, long-suffering, love, joy, faith, goodness, endurance, meekness. That's a light. It's a light in this world. And you know what? You know what? It's the glorious gospel of Christ. If you show that with the faith and the love that the Lord Jesus has given you, if you display that with grace to those who are around, you're displaying Christ. And it's a light to this dark, dark world. Don't walk with one foot in the world and one foot with Christ. Display these lovely lights. Isn't it a wonderful contrast? We just have this. It's not bright, but it's something that God uses because God is powerful. And just like those little bees that He uses, just like those little bees that He uses, to display His power of feeding the world, these little lights can be displayed to bring salvation to men and women and boys and girls everywhere. Okay? Let's sing it one more time. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Okay, good. I want everybody to stand up because they're standing up, and we're gonna pray so that they won't feel embarrassed. Now we're all standing. Let's bow our heads, our God and Father. We have learned a little bit about the glory of your light and the power of even just the sun. But we have learned a little too, Father, about the power of the little light that you've given us to display to the world. We pray, O God, that thou will give us power to look and to walk and to display that light that you have given. And we pray for any soul here today who is not saved, who has not received the benefit of the light, the glorious gospel of Christ. We pray, O God, that you would remove the blinders that Satan has put in there, that their eyes would be open and the glorious gospel of Christ, the light would shine into their soul, and they would be saved. We pray it in the name of Jesus our Savior. Amen.